Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. It is WWDC pre-week. What, I don't know. We've been doing this for weeks, but like, this is the definitive everything you need to know episode about what you can expect for WWDC. And it's going to be a lot. So like, you know, grab some food, snacks, whatever you need to, you know, get ready for this episode, because there's a lot of information. And then, of course, next week we'll be live from WWDC or from Apple Park to discuss everything that did actually get announced. But before we do that, Hartley, good afternoon. How was your week off? Are you well rested and ready for WWDC now?
I am. I'm intrigued. I think this is one of the most highly anticipated WWDCs that I can remember, at least. Pretty unique circumstances where we had so many of these features announced 2 years ago. They haven't emerged. Last year was a pretty low-key affair with very little mention of AI or Apple intelligence. And we're expecting this year to be the complete opposite, where we'll get a closer look at everything that was initially announced and a huge amount more, seemingly. I mean, things have moved on a lot in the industry. And it looks like Apple has a lot of features in the pipeline. So it's pretty exciting. I will say that what stands out to me about what we're going to discuss today is that it seems to be a focus on Apple intelligence and a focus on iOS. We know very little, actually, about the other platforms. Very little about VisionOS, iPadOS, WatchOS, and macOS. There's a few rumors about some of these things, but everything seems to revolve around iOS and Apple intelligence. But a lot of those things are cross-platform, and Apple increasingly brings everything to all platforms. But I guess for the purposes of when we're talking about it, we're talking about it in the context of iOS 27.
Yeah, I mean, it almost feels like I haven't heard about any other feature for not only all of the other platforms, but iOS. I haven't heard of any other non-Siri related or Apple intelligence related. There's been a few sprinkled in. We've even had some things about the like foldable and like how apps would work with larger displays. You know, that's kind of how Apple's probably going to hide the foldable stuff. We've seen some of those things pop up, but like otherwise, I don't know off the top of my head. I can't think of anything that's non-Siri, AI, Apple intelligence kind of thing. So obviously that is a big focus of this. It's the first time in a while. I mean, last year it was pretty much all the redesign and some of the new features that you got there with very little AI, like you said. This is the completely, you know, different direction. So we're going to start off with Siri, because that's going to be a main star of the show here. I mean, we saw what? Was it Jaws's tweet on Monday that said all systems glow, and they had the glow animation? You know, we got to do this. That's obviously Siri and the new kind of Siri glow that we're going to get. And it's got its own app. So how do you feel about a dedicated Siri app that's basically trying to match ChatGPT, Claude, and, you know, all the other ones out there?
I think it needs to happen. I think it's the best and simplest way, actually, to convey to users, especially ordinary daily users that are increasingly relying on chatbots or experimenting with chatbots, to really understand that Siri is a competitor to those, or will be. If it remained at the system level, I think it would be pretty easy to forget about it. But if it is an icon there, right on your home screen, that makes it very clear that this is something different and this is something that stands up to those other apps that you may have installed. And if there are new capabilities here, if they're just tucked away in Siri in the system as they are today, it'd be very easy to forget about them. But if this is something that you're encouraged to go and engage with and actually has a dedicated interface where right now you can't linger on Siri, you can't kind of go into Siri per se and look at features that are available, whereas this will be a fully fledged app with its own UI. There will be suggested questions in there. There will be a list of conversations just like you have in these other apps, and a conversation history. All of that stuff will be available in there for you to engage with and pick up on previous conversations. Very similar to these existing apps. So I think it does make perfect sense. And of course, that can be pretty much across all OSs as well. I'm hoping we're going to get that same Siri app on the Mac, on the iPad. I don't know whether we'll get it on the Apple Watch or Vision OS or TV OS, but certainly there is going to be a lot more influence and presence for Siri across the systems.
Absolutely. Mac OS is where I am extremely interested in Siri because of, you know, what it could do from a system level on your Mac, and can it help you out with a lot of complex tasks? And you know, we've talked about like what Cloud Code can do and just like the co-working stuff that it has where it can manage my folders and do all that. Like, I'm hoping one day it gets to that. I don't know how quickly that will happen. We've heard some rumors and things about what it can do with certain files and all of that. So it'll be interesting to see it for sure. I think we've seen some replicated screenshots, which are also nice, kind of gives you an idea of what it would look like. It does seem pretty basic, but I mean, we don't really need a whole lot, I think.
Well, these kind of chatbot apps are quite simple. If you ignore the coding capabilities that are available in some of the apps, which there are no rumors about Siri getting anything like that. I think that's for next year. That's for way further out.
Yeah.
Chatbot apps are really simple. It's just a messages feed, effectively, with a conversation history. And this is no different to that, other than I think Apple is obviously very good at design. So these are very nicely designed cards, everything looks extremely polished, even in these mock screenshots. Where things start to get more interesting is with the direct system integration outside this app. So Siri is also going to be replacing Spotlight.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
More directly. And we can expect much better kind of Siri suggestions, where this is what makes Siri unique. And this is what we were originally pitched in the first place, that because this is actually an Apple system level AI, it has access to your calendar, to your iMessages, to your email. You don't need to go and hook all of those things up in the same way that you would with something like Claude. And it can actually go deeper than that because it can just read your iMessages and your reminders and everything by default to present this much more comprehensive view of your personal context at that time. And so if you swipe down into Control Center, not Control Center, if you swipe down into Spotlight, you will get much better suggestions. And it's actually pretty funny. I've just confused Control Center for Siri because that's one of the rumored changes, that we're going to get some changes to the navigation up there at the top of the screen. So right now, everyone will have got very used to swiping down on the sort of middle to the right of the display will bring down Control Center. It will bring down Notification Center, and then swiping down on the, so it's not swiping down on the left, swiping down on the right will bring down Control Center. That is going to change. So it will be the left will be Notification Center. The center will be for Siri Spotlight. And then the top right will be for Control Center. So that may be a little bit confusing and frustrating if right now you're used to kind of swiping down on the dynamic island or the notch to get to your notifications. You won't be able to do that anymore.
I guess I never do that. So this is not new to me at all. Like, it's always been top left for Notification Center. It's always been top right. But you're saying that now if you went in the middle, which usually kind of took over, so it was like from left to center, you could do notifications.
Well, right now, if you swipe down in the middle of your display, you will bring down the Notification Center.
I always swipe down from the middle of my display, but I do it in the very middle of the phone, and that's how I get to Spotlight. That's like my most used thing. I swipe down in the middle.
Yeah.
Like the very middle of the center. I know what you mean. Not the top middle, but like the very middle. I have never once tried to reach up that high to swipe in the middle. Only thing I ever really do is go in the corners for notification.
But that won't be Spotlight.
It's not going to be a huge difference.
This will be the ask feature. So this is something slightly different. This won't present suggestions per se. This will actually provide you with an opportunity to just type a question in there. The idea being that maybe the kinds of questions that you may quickly throw into ChatGPT, you can get to that very quickly, and it may prevent you using Safari quite so much, or needing to use it, I should say.
I was going to say, so that might bother me then, because I usually do that as swipe down, search for an app, and open it that way kind of thing, you know, like, or search for something in Spotlight. Like Spotlight,
you can still do that in the middle of the display, but
it's the top middle of the display, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what's going to screw me up. So I didn't care about the notification part and all that. It's the fact that I never go to the top middle of the screen, because you don't have to do that currently. But now that my normal behavior of from the very center of the screen swiping down brings up search or ask, which I am very intrigued about, by the way. I think that's the most interesting thing about all of this. That's going to bother me. But, you know, I'll get used to it at some point.
And of course, we're expecting some nice new animations as well. So we're expecting a sort of pill-shaped animation in the dynamic island that will glow when you're searching or you're asking a question. And as we've said before, I think the dynamic island is the perfect place for this kind of interaction. Mm-hmm. So
it'll
that
be interesting
should
be
to
good.
See
I do how this
wonder
works
how that's going
other
to work on a what I was going to say. How it's going to work on an older device with a notch, because we've still got that with the iPhone 16e, 17e. These devices are still very much around.
I'm guessing it'll just could be a card coming down from the top.
Yeah, it'll just float below that.
I don't think we have to overthink it,
but it's not going to look as polished. Because if everything is expanding from the dynamic island, and it makes the dynamic island feel like a much more present AI interface, where often it, like if it's conducting a task in the background, you've asked Siri a complex question, it's going and fetching stuff from the web, and you're doing that in an app, that's where you want to see that in the dynamic island, seeing that it's just working on it in the background. Current AI services actually don't do that, and that is a bit of a missed trick, that there's no live activity. So I think this is a way to make it just feel a little bit more well integrated. And this is where Apple can shine. I mean, I don't think that there's no way that this version of Siri is going to be as good as some of what we have come to expect from the capabilities of Claude, ChatGPT, and Gemini. But I don't think it's trying to do the exact same thing. It is trying to provide you with richer personal context and a much more sort of fluid experience, because it is integrated at the system level. And there is something somewhat clunky, we've all experienced this, of going into an AI app and kind of having to remember to consciously go into that app, navigate around it. If it's doing something in the background, then swipe down on notification center, check if it's completed. Sometimes there's a bit of a delay, the notification pops in afterwards, and it feels very self-contained. This will be very different if it really does feel like it is a kind of omnipresent feature, especially providing you with suggestions. You know, we've talked for years about how we want better suggestions on the iPhone. We've had stuff like, I don't know, widget stacks and things like that that should be able to do that kind of thing, but it hasn't got close. I want to be able to go into Spotlight or whatever Spotlight will become. And it will surface things like recent messages that I've received along, and will understand that if I'm leaving soon based on my calendar, to surface weather and travel information based on that. It kind of feels like we've been promised for years, but never quite had delivered.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This message comes from Capital One Commercial Bank. Your business requires commercial banking solutions that prioritize your long-term success. With Capital One, get a full suite of financial products and services tailored to meet your needs today and goals for tomorrow. Learn more at CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how all of that works out. The one thing that I don't get, though, which seems very un-Apple-like, but has been rumored for a while, is that when you do this, when you initiate the search or ask feature, you can switch over to a third-party AI service. So if you want to use ChatGPT, you can. And it makes sense from a perspective of like, okay, I know that right now the phone and your operating system integrates with ChatGPT. That's because we don't have anything right now. But now Apple is putting out a Siri chatbot app, overhauling Siri, making it a competitor. And yeah, it might be a little behind, but like if Apple truly believes in this, like, why are they giving you the ability to change it? Like, wouldn't they want you to use this specific thing for you? It's weird to me. I feel like this would definitely be something in the past where Apple would just be like,
I think you're going to use ours. I think it's quite ingenious because right now no one's using Siri and people are using other services. Mm-hmm. So if there is an easier way to access those other services, you can kind of push Siri to those users through the back door. Because right now, if I always go into Claude, I'm never touching Siri unless I'm controlling my lights with my HomePod Mini. But if I know that I can swipe down on the dynamic island and I can get access to Claude, then I don't need to go in the Claude app. But then it might just start pushing me to use Siri at the same time because Siri will be right there. And it gets used to the interactions. I think it's quite smart considering that they are behind in this race and they need to kind of tempt you to use their features by making it easier to use the features of their rivals. And also there's an antitrust element to this where Apple's under so much scrutiny now around the world for kind of gatekeeping features. And I think that it knows that it can't be quite as closed off as it was able to be years ago. And it is good from a regulatory perspective if it can go to the European Union and say, well, look at how we make our features available to all AI services in this rapidly growing area. We're such an open company.
Totally fine. And I'm not mad. Okay, let me rephrase this. I'm not mad about it. I don't care. Like, I will use whatever one I want to use, and I would like everybody else to be able to use whatever. It seems strange because past behavior, Apple would never do this. You bring up a good point that they have to start doing this a little more or give the perception, you know, because of the whole regular... Makes sense. But why are they making it so easy to do it? Most people don't go into the... Let me rephrase. I feel like most people will not go into the settings app or go search for how to make that the default, okay? A lot of the people that I know that use their phone, even if they are just kind of dabbling into AI, are not going to know where to go or look or want to do that. So they'll just use what's presented to them. So the fact that you make it so easy to just in that search or ask feature to switch just is surprising to me. Like, if I understand that they're going to have to make it available and give you the ability, but go, you know, for the longest time when we finally got the ability to switch to a third party email app, that's still hard to change now. That's not an easy change. It's not something that you can easily set as the default mail. You have to go and find it. And I bet you most people don't know where to go. And the searching in settings isn't very good anyways. So like, it's hard to find. So I'm just surprised that they're making it that easy, but I'm not mad about it. It's just, you know, just another thing that I noticed. If all of these rumors are true, of course, we have to kind of put the allegedly.
It's good for users. There was kind of the groundwork laid for this kind of thing with ChatGPT integration when we first got it, because the way that it is presented to get ChatGPT in Siri, it almost is like you're waiting for other services to pop up there in settings. It's almost like when they pitched Apple Intelligence as kind of a layer to plug in other services, it kind of seems like this was always the idea from the beginning in one way or another. But it maybe just looks like they're making it particularly accessible, and it's all good for users.
Yeah, for sure.
Particularly with individual features, because sometimes you do want to use one service over another. I mean, we did see this, I think it was with Image Playground, where when Image Playground launched, it was only Apple's models. And then at WWDC last year, they opened that up to be that you could use ChatGPT's image models, which are way better than Apple's. I mean, it's no competition. If that continues to expand and you can access Gemini in there, suddenly you've got this app that serves as this hub to generate images from whatever service you want, which is actually a lot more intuitive than these different apps that provide slightly different capabilities and different strengths, it's better to think, okay, well, here's the writing tool, and I can choose which service I want to use specifically for writing in that moment. And then when I've got an inquiry, I can just use whatever service I want over there. And it's very, very easy to switch between them.
And you can, because now there's a new extensions feature that Apple is offering. We've talked about how it's going to integrate in Search or Ask, but also just like you just said, in writing tools, in Image Playground, in Apple Intelligence features, and others that might come down the line, you know, Safari extensions in the App Store will now get used to AI extensions, I guess. I don't really know what it's going to be called, but it's going to apparently have a dedicated extension section in the App Store, kind of acting as a marketplace for all of your AI integration. So if there's even ones that we don't mention regularly, I don't know, do some of those, what was the hot AI chatbot like 2 years ago that everybody was using? It's got like a whale on it. I can't remember.
Oh, DeepSeek.
Do people still use that? I'm so out of the...
I have no idea.
I don't know. Is that even a thing anymore? But if it is...
Yeah, it's still around.
Maybe, yeah, then you can probably tie that in maybe. I don't know. But like, it looks like there's going to be a bunch of integrations and a new core AI framework for developers so they can start adding these in to some of these third-party apps. And yeah, I mean, Siri is going to be a huge deal. It's going to be, I don't know, if the keynote's 2 hours, it's going to be a 30 to 40% probably of the entire, 50% of the entire keynote. Would you agree?
Quite easily.
Yeah.
And it's because a lot of these integrations are across a system. So one of the things is that there will be a kind of Siri button across first party apps. So whether you think about that as a feature within those apps or a Siri feature, it's all kind of the way this is getting marketed is as a much more kind of overall thing. There are also features like Siri will actually be able to finally search the web for you, just like all of these other services can do. But that's a big deal because you're not going to be told to, you know,
go
look at results on your iPhone.
Yeah. I've pulled up results on your iPhone.
And also it will do multi-part questions, which we have never really been able to do before. I mean, they kind of said you could do it a little bit last year, but
no, you can't.
That will make a huge difference if you can do that, particularly with basically things like smart home inquiries.
Let's just quickly jump through some of the things that we know Siri and, you know, some of these new AI Apple Intelligence features are going to be across some of the apps, because like the camera app, for example, like you said, there's going to be a Siri button. So there's going to be a new Siri mode potentially in the camera app, just kind of added alongside the bottom there where like you see photo, video, portrait, panorama, etc. And I guess this is going to replace what, visual intelligence on camera control? Is that right?
Yeah. So I think it's trying to consolidate everything under the Siri brand. So this will be a Siri lens or Siri mode for the camera app. But that is basically the same thing as visual intelligence. I don't think there's going to be a meaningful difference. It's just kind of changing its location.
Just changing the name.
People don't think about visual intelligence right now because it's so tucked away. You have to consciously remember to use it. Putting it in the camera app does make sense.
Well, what's worth bringing up, though, is that if Siri is new and improved, like how much better does this mode become? Does it become like Gemini's mode where you can literally show it things and like have a full-blown conversation with it like in real time? I forget, a while ago it was, there was an ad for that where you could have a conversation fixing a bike. Like some guy was like showing how to replace stuff on a bicycle and just keeping it up, propped up, and having it look at what you're doing, and it's offering you step-by-step directions. Like, are we going to be able to get to that? Is that something that comes later on? And it's just
you'd
more
hope so. I mean,
yeah.
The other key piece that we've not talked about really is that this is based on Gemini. Apple has licensed Gemini models, so anything that Gemini can do, we would hope that the next generation of Siri will be able to, because it's using the same underlying technology.
One new thing we know with visual intelligence is that you can scan food nutrition labels for calorie and macronutrients tracking. So the health app seemingly is going to get a little bit of an overhaul, or at least a new section for this kind of stuff. So you don't really need to rely on third-party apps. I don't know how good it's going to be. There are some good third-party apps out there that already do like an AI kind of take a look at my plate. This is what I've got going on situation. Like guess how much protein and calories and all of that I'm getting out of it. That would be super helpful. Like that would make me actually use the health app more. I don't know. What about you?
I think it would be really useful. I mean, we've been able to get information about diet and nutrition in the health app because they are available via HealthKit to add information, but Apple's never really provided anything. And AI is really the best thing for calorie tracking and nutrient tracking because it's so complicated. There's so many elements to it. And if I could just go straight into visual intelligence or Siri and just point it at whatever I'm eating and it just automatically logs it to the health app, that would remove a lot of friction.
Absolutely. Assuming that it's accurate, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, how good is it at guessing weight of what you're eating, the density, like, you know, that's the kind of stuff. But at least if it gets you in the right ballpark, I'd be happy with that. You know, you can kind of already do the like scan phone numbers and addresses and stuff, but I guess it's going to expand on that. So there's going to be some new things for the camera, for visual intelligence specifically. In the Photos app, we're expecting some good tweaks. I mean, extend, reframe, and enhance are kind of the big three things that we've heard. So looks like now we're getting the ability to like generative edit, right? So if you need more, how do I put this? Like if you're cropping in and, you know, or messing around with the framing of your photo, it can then generate additional kind of filler for that image, which, you know, Samsung has had for a while, but now it looks like it's Apple's turn to kind of catch up there. I mean, I don't know. A lot of these tweaks sound good. Is this stuff that like, I don't know, what I still feel like Photomator. We still need to see some of those features. I don't think they had a lot of AI stuff before, but they probably did have a lot of these.
They had things like an ML expand, like you could increase the resolution. I think it was ML super resolution, which was a pretty good feature. Things like that would be nice to see. Apple's always been, I think, reluctant to engage with AI image generation and image augmentation as much as many of its rivals, because there are a lot more ethical questions around that. And it does produce great camera hardware, and I think it feels kind of reluctant about saying, well, you don't need to take such a great image because we'll just generate it afterwards. But I think the extend feature that's rumored does fit quite nicely with what Apple is saying. It's not saying don't take a great picture. It's encouraging you to take a great picture, but if you just want to change the framing a little bit, you can go ahead and do that. That is a feature I will definitely use.
Absolutely. And the enhance one, sometimes you want your image to look better, but you're not exactly sure what you need to adjust. Is it exposure? Is it saturation? Do you need to fine tune the hue? Like, let AI figure that out for you. It's most likely going to do a pretty decent job. So there's going to be that enhanced kind of AI auto tweak where it will adjust parameters like color and lighting and all of that. So that's pretty nice. And all of those tools will join Cleanup, which hopefully Cleanup gets a little bit better because that one's, I mean, it's good for specific things, but it could be better.
It's good for like small parts of a photo. Yeah. It's not very good for larger replacement. I actually think the kind of thing that was pitched with it, that you could remove a person from the back of the frame, it does that terribly. But if it comes to, I don't know, like there's like trash on the floor in your image, like you can get rid of that, but you're going to struggle to get rid of a car or something that is large in the image. Yeah. So it would be nice to see that improved.
Let's see. Shortcuts. This is kind of a big one because I think a lot of people, myself included sometimes, just pretty intimidated by shortcuts. I'm not going in there and trying to spend all day figuring out what kind of shortcuts I would want. I would like to use them. And there's a lot of good resources out there. If you have the time, you should definitely look up some YouTube videos. And there's some good articles out there where they make the shortcuts for you, something that you might be looking for. And then all you have to do is just touch the link and save it to your phone. It's a 2-second process. And then you have that shortcut. But what if you could just naturally tell Siri, or however this is going to work, I'm guessing it'll be Siri, make me a shortcut that does X, Y, and Z with this specific app. And most likely we would assume third-party apps would be integrated with this as well at some point. And it does it. And you don't have to do a single thing inside of the menu options and create it yourself. That is huge. And that is kind of the rumor here is natural language shortcut creation. Describe what you want. And it'll build it out for you step by step, which is huge. And I hope it works really well because I will be doing that quite a bit.
Yes, this has been rumored for years. I think it will be one of the more useful features and probably something that they give quite a bit of attention to, because it should be pretty impressive, especially if you can actually see it build that shortcut in real time. It makes for a good demo.
Yeah, I can't wait for this. I can't wait for all these demos. This is always my favorite event, because software is what you're using. I mean, the hardware, getting new hardware is fun, okay? But that hardware is cool for like 30 seconds. And then you're like, okay, at the end of the day, this is still a normal phone, unless you have a foldable or something. At the end of the day, this is just still a Mac. And what powers all of that? The software. You need good software and you need good features. And this is where things can change and make your device feel fresh and new on a regular basis without having to buy new looking hardware. And so this stuff I get excited for.
This message comes from Capital One Commercial Bank. Your business requires commercial banking solutions that prioritize your long-term success. With Capital One, get a full suite of financial products and services tailored to meet your needs today and goals for tomorrow. Learn more at CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I don't know about writing tools and the keyboard. I mean, if the keyboard just gets better.
Yeah, I mean, that's not so compelling. But right now, writing tools are very hidden. There have been occasions when I've wanted to use like the deeper grammar and spell checker, or I've wanted to change the tone of something when I can't get to writing tools. It's very buried. You have to do a long press. It's kind of hidden where copy and paste is and you have to navigate along. If it's actually integrated in the keyboard itself, I think that makes the most sense. Especially if you're on the go, you need to draft a longer email or something. You don't want to actually be sitting there. That is something where using a prompt would make a lot of sense. And you can do that right now, but it's so
buried.
It's so hidden, especially the actual menus are kind of the text box to actually type in your complete prompt or instruction. So that also, yes, makes a lot of sense.
I just want the proofread button right there so that I don't have to go and find it and I can just not look like an idiot with my grammar sometimes, you know? Like, I just want it to be fixed. Don't rewrite it. I just fix what I did and that's it.
I mean, all of these features are being surfaced a lot more. I think that's the theme that runs through all of this. There are some features that are actually not AI driven, and we probably should talk about some of those. So they include...
Wait, what? That's possible?
It is possible. There are not that many, but we have heard some rumors about just a few of them. One of them is the camera app. So the camera app is getting a complete overhaul where it will be fully customizable. So this is designed to appeal to professional photographers and videographers, which Apple has lent into a lot in recent years, especially as the iPhone has become more capable. I mean, Apple now itself shoots sports games for Apple TV Plus or Apple TV Now.
For baseball.
Using the iPhone. It uses them to shoot Apple events. I mean, even last year when we recorded this very podcast at Apple Park, they had switched over the last 2 years from professional camera equipment to using the iPhone. So we're seeing this all over the place. But something that a lot of professional photographers and videographers have complained about is the limitations of the default camera app, where maybe if you're a professional, you don't want the live photos button or whatever it may be right there. You want different controls. You want to be able to get access to those more granular, specific things that you want to use in the places that you want to use them. And it's felt a little strange that for years, the iPhone's camera app has been just as static as like a DSLR that you can't really customize the exact way to do that, when the whole point of an iPhone in the way that Steve Jobs initially unveiled it is that those buttons don't have fixed places. So it's pretty incredible that this hasn't happened before. But from now on, it will be like widgets. So you can customize it just like a home screen. There'll be a drawer that comes up full of all of the different controls, and you can pin the ones that you want there in the locations that you actually want them in. So if you're a user that doesn't want to overcomplicate the camera app, you can remove stuff that you don't want, but that goes right the way up to if you're a pro user. So I think that is actually a pretty significant change.
That is big. Safari looks like it. I'm trying to find the features that are not that are not AI. So Safari, new start page with four tabs: favorites, bookmarks, reading list, and history. So there's just another simplifying kind of everything, which I do enjoy. Just like, let's clean it up. You can organize tabs automatically based on behavior, and auto naming of tabs groups based on your tab contents, which is actually pretty nice. Do you use group tabs? I don't know that I use them pretty often.
Not really. I have a problem with having too many tabs open anyway. So yeah, that's me. That's me until Safari crashes eventually.
Maybe it would be good to do, and this might be an, I don't know, is this an AI feature, like that it just automatically reads what you have? And
yeah,
it could
that
be.
Is an AI feature. You bet they will brand that as an AI feature. But
listen,
there are other things here. So there's some features for the wallet app that sound quite interesting. You'll be able to create a pass from a QR code for the first time, which again is, how do we not have this already? You can do this with third-party apps. Even going back to when it was Passbook, you could not just create a pass from a QR code. And there are plenty of times when you do receive a QR code or a barcode or something for an event, but it is not available as an actual Apple Wallet pass. You know, things for like concerts or the theater, very often those will be emailed to you in a PDF, but not actually available in the Wallet app. Well, the idea being that now, you can, I suppose, if it's emailed to you in a PDF, you can use visual intelligence with on-screen awareness and create a pass. Or if it's something you've received physically or in any other format, you can just scan that QR code. Say, I don't know, you're doing a return of some items in the mail, and you need a QR code to do that. Well, now you can just add it to your wallet, so it's right there available. Very simple feature, something that will be very useful.
That is good. So I'm just thinking about that. Amazon started doing that recently, where like for some specific locations, like I don't know what it would be for you, but like for me here, Staples is a store that I can go into and drop off most Amazon returns. And it's just based on QR codes. But now it started being an add to Apple Wallet pass, which is nice. But if I go to like a more traditional UPS drop off, it's QR code based for the most part, unless you run into those random ones where you still got to print the label. But like, it's a QR code, but you can't add it to Apple Wallet. But now that would be a useful thing, because I run into this situation a lot where the locations of these stores is kind of a dead zone. So if I want to go into the Amazon app, it doesn't work constantly. Like that becomes a problem. So if I can create...
But also, if you get these things over email, then when you're like trying to get to it, you can't find the email. And
yeah,
it's
a
annoying.
Pain. Yeah, so that really helps.
It's a tiny thing, but I think it's useful. Yeah. You can also color code them as well.
Yeah,
so that
customize.
Makes it even easier if you've got a bunch of them. And there will also be a bill splitting feature for Apple Cash. So you can take a photo of a receipt. You assign the items on that receipt to the individuals who had them. It will total everything up automatically, and then you can conduct that transaction between you and the group of people you're with using Apple Cash.
That'd be cool if that can like figure out a way to be, you know, AI based, where I just total it up. Like, this is this item, you know, pizza and water and a bottle of, I don't know, whatever. This is for John and these are for Jim. And then like immediately it goes into your contacts, knows who those be, or like, you know, you can tap on the name and then it sends a request for Apple Cash. Like, that would be super helpful. That would be the kind of stuff or maybe you can just ask, make like a shortcut or something, you know? When I take a scan of this image and start to divide the stuff, like immediately send it to the person that it belongs to, or like bring up a prompt or something. I don't know. There's ways that you can get creative about
it.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
We're also expecting new features for AirPods. We're expecting a revamped, dedicated settings menu. Because right now, if you do want to change AirPod settings, you have to either go into submenus in Control Center, where they're quite limited, or you have to go into the settings app when your AirPods are connected. And You can, I don't know, you can change the balance or whatever you want to do there. So I think that Apple is stopping short of actually making an AirPods app, but it looks like it's getting a little bit closer to that, where everything should be laid out much more simply, because it is buried. On the occasion, you do want to go and adjust something with your AirPods, and maybe there will be more adjustment there. We're expecting other things like hearing health to be much more prominent within that, because if you want to do that right now and take a hearing test, I have to think for a second about how I get to that. I think, oh, okay, yeah. That must be, is that the health app? Is that where I go for it? Or do I need to go into settings to find that?
You go into settings, and that's the funny part, is that like, yeah.
It makes sense for this to be much easier to access. Then there is also another one that's quite interesting is the ability to set alternatives to AirPlay. So you'll get access to like Google Cast now. You can set that as a default instead of AirPlay, at least in the European Union.
I was going to say, is that likely a you all out there thing, or is that a, you know?
Well, everybody? I don't know about in the UK, but certainly it will be in the EU. And it wouldn't surprise
you're closer
me
to the EU than I am, so I'm just generalizing. That's true. Your location.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was just everywhere, because it gets difficult to argue for these things if they are split across different territories where clearly they are not causing a huge difference. I mean, I understand with third party app stores, but I don't know, with a feature like this, it seems pretty harmless.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's kind of wrap up iOS 27 and go into some of the like the smaller things that we do know about some of these other ones. Like, we can start with macOS 27. Is this the first one that's going to be Apple Silicon only?
Yes,
the first update.
So.
That's pretty big. We haven't really talked about that, or I haven't really seen a lot about this.
So there will be no. It will also be the final. Yeah. Release version to include Rosetta. So if you still are relying on Intel apps running through that layer, and they work great, you won't even really notice any difference. So you probably won't even necessarily know if you're using an Intel app, but those days are numbered now.
Yeah, that's disappointing. So this brings it to what, the 16-inch MacBook Pro from what, 2019? Basically, if you don't have anything with an M chip, you should know if you do. You're not going to get this update, I guess, which is kind of big. So my Mac Pro that's sitting right here,
especially
is just a
where
big paperweight.
We are now expecting these AI features, which many of them do run on device, depend on the neural engine, depend on having a lot of access to memory. And while plenty is sent to the cloud, Apple is prioritizing a lot of on-device tasks and has worked on sort of compacting these large Google models down so that some tasks can run natively on the device. You know, an old, like, 2019 Intel Mac is not going to do that very nicely, so it is time.
Yeah. All the Siri and Apple Intelligence upgrades that are on iOS, we can pretty much expect on macOS, correct?
Pretty much. You won't get such easy access to maybe like the ask feature by swiping down, because there is no capability to do that. But certainly we've got to get
the Siri
app.
I'm guessing, would that just replace Spotlight on your Mac? Or would that be a part of it?
I think it would probably have to be a part of Spotlight, but I don't know that the integration will be quite as comprehensive as it is on the iPhone. Not least because it's older hardware as well. I mean, Apple Intelligence will only run on an iPhone 15 Pro or newer. It won't even run on an iPhone 15, a 15 Pro specifically or newer. But this has got to run on M1 Max. Mm-hmm. So I can't see it being quite as comprehensive as on the iPhone. And it feels like the Mac is a bit of an afterthought anyway with some of these features. So we'll get it.
What do
then,
we name
you know,
it?
It'll be there.
Yeah. What do we name it though? The possibility is Big Bear. You think that's the one?
I'm not sure about that. There's also a rumor about Emerald, but we'll
That'll
see.
Be interesting. That doesn't usually flow with the last few, you know?
No, I mean, they're usually place names. So
it's possible this is a place that I just don't know of, but I'm just thinking of the color and the stone, you know? But like...
Well, we are... I guess it's kind of glossy. It's liquid glass, yeah. leaning into that a little. I don't
Maybe
know.
Maybe we're moving on. Yeah. What I do know is that we're going to get that crack marketing team line from Craig, and I'm going to cringe really hard because I'm very sick of that whole skit, but we're definitely going to get that.
I'm over it now. Maybe I'm a killjoy, but I'm over it.
I think
that joke was literally from like 2014, and it's happened every single year since then.
I think they're making Craig unlikable, and they have to stop because I do think he's a generally good guy, and like they're giving him too much of this, and it's like, you just stop, man. Just say no. You don't have to keep doing all this. We like you. It's good, okay? But like you're making it hard for me to like him again.
This message comes from Capital One Commercial Bank. Your business requires commercial banking solutions that prioritize your long-term success. With Capital One, get a full suite of financial products and services tailored to meet your needs today and goals for tomorrow. Learn more at CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm looking at all the rest of this stuff, man. There's just really not a whole lot. But what we can ask, and here's the major question. Home OS. Do we get to see this? Do we finally get this?
If I had to choose, I would say no. But okay. I think that if we were to see hardware, I think that this is the piece of hardware that would make the most sense to show, because it is a device that is dependent on the next generation version of Siri. And of course, that is what is going to dominate this event. Mm-hmm. So it would not. And also, if they're not going to unveil something that is going to replace a current device where that current device is on sale and yet they can't ship it for a while. But this is not going to replace anything, this smart home hub. So just like the HomePod was unveiled at WWDC back in 2017, there would be nothing stopping them unveiling this device, saying, look at all of these AI features that will run on it and how exciting and new that will be. And then this product will arrive later in the fall. If they did want to provide a teaser, this probably would be the hardware product that would make the most sense to do that with.
And that would be a good time for them to also just be like, and this new Siri is going to come to the HomePod. And, you know, we have new updates coming alongside the brand new, whatever they call the Home Hub, later this fall. Like, that's a good time to do that. So everybody stops asking me when there's going to be a damn update to the HomePod. Okay. It's when Siri comes, it's going to be in September. And we're moving on. And the Apple TV, for that matter, I'm guessing, is also just waiting.
Yes.
So, that'll be the time to say it. But they won't. And then I can just keep making the same video on it every single day.
Yeah.
When will Apple TV be ready? It's coming later this year, guys. It'll be in September. Or hopefully. Later. Hopefully. It's next year. We're just going to keep kicking the can down the road. But I really want to see it. I hope they do it. I'm also kind of pessimistic about whether that's going to be at WWDC, because to be honest, this could be an entirely new event in and of itself later in the year if they really wanted to. But I don't see why we need to go do all that. Just do it now. One other thing that we could see, I don't think they're going to at all address it, but you could see maybe in like, I don't even think they'll bring this. Do you think they'll even bring this up at the keynote? My guess is no, but maybe in those like extra features list that you get later on, where you kind of look at the additional features on the iOS 27 homepage. They show all the big ones, and then there's like a whole big ass list of all the other stuff. Foldable iPhone, it's not going to be labeled as that, but you're going to see system, like the split screen stuff. That was kind of big. Maybe they do show that. Do you think they would show that?
I would be shocked if they did.
Because some of the things, now I didn't fully look into, like, this was a couple of days ago. We saw like system level split screen, and some people were thinking that this could be more so not just on the foldable iPhone, but on like a normal iPhone that you can get.
I think that, yeah. So right now, the iPhone doesn't handle landscape apps very well. But of course, if there is a foldable iPhone coming where you're going to be looking at apps effectively in a landscape view a lot of the time, landscape views need to get better on the iPhone in general. So there is a possibility that they may talk about in the State of the Union or something in a more buried way, how developers can optimize their apps for a landscape view and unifying that design language, bringing some things over from the iPad, making things sort of more dynamically resizable in landscape. That would all make sense without actually mentioning a foldable.
But I don't even care about the foldable for this specific thing. Look at my phone. It's great that it can be adjusted. I'm envisioning the iPad slider for split screen where you can slide it around and adjust it in this mode. That's great. Let me turn it this way and let me adjust vertically, because that is where, in my opinion, it makes the most sense on phones of this size. I want a vertical split screen. Every other phone that's not named Apple pretty much has this. Why can't we have it too? It would be great to have, you know, a full half of your screen is a video and I got messages below it, or I've got messages and email stacked on top of each other and I can reference both of those things at the same time and not have to swipe between the apps. If you're going to go through the level of, you know, I can do it in landscape, why can't I just flip it this way and do the same thing? That's where I was kind of getting excited about it. And I think a lot of other people were getting excited about that possibility. Like, I'm not going to use it in landscape, but I would use it vertically. Would you?
I definitely would. I would really like that feature.
So give us what we want, Apple. Come on.
The foldable is going to open the door to those kinds of interactions in the long run, I think.
But that's where I can, you know, I don't think they'll bring this up at all. But if they do, that would be cool. I'd be pretty happy about that. They're like, oh yeah, by the way, we're adding split screen to the iPhone. So if you want to, in both vertical and landscape, and this will be, you know, it'll adjust for all sorts of display sizes. And that'll be their little subtle nod to the whole foldable iPhone stuff. But also, you know, your Pro Max could be more useful, and et cetera. Vision OS, I know we've seen some accessibility things already for a lot of the platforms. There could be some accessibility stuff there. Obviously, we're expecting Siri to be on the Vision Pro, and that could make device a lot more useful.
You'd certainly hope so. It's difficult for me to be too excited about the Vision Pro right now, but there's got to be something in there. I mean, this is the first major update to Vision OS since that new headset was released. So there's a lot more capability there with the M5 chip. I don't know what else we could do with that. I mean, I'm not a huge AR, VR enthusiast. Some people absolutely love the Vision Pro. I'm sure those people would be able to tell us what would be most likely to be in the next version of Vision OS.
But like, if all of the same feature parity for Siri came to, you know, the Vision Pro, wouldn't that make this a pretty massive upgrade?
Oh, I definitely would do. I would just be surprised if that happened. I think you'll get the most new features on iOS and on iPadOS as a result, then probably the next most on the Mac, then maybe the next most on the Apple Watch, and then VisionOS is the last thing. I mean, every major VisionOS update we've seen has been quite small. Even VisionOS 2 was small.
Real quick, you mentioned WatchOS. We do have a couple of the notes here. Improved heart rate tracking. New watch faces. You know what? That's where we talked about this before, or at least I mentioned it. Can we get an AI-generated Siri watch, even if it doesn't happen on the watch itself, but you can do it in the watch app or something? Can we get some sort of, like, same thing as shortcuts where I can describe the type of watch face that I'm looking for and, like, give it an example of, like, this is a watch face from an actual watch that I like and I want to model it after that? Can you make something that looks like this and give me two complications and it just creates it for you? Like, that would be great. I don't think that's going to happen.
I would love that. I think a lot of people all of these things are possible in the long run. I think as exciting as this will be, next year will be the time for things like that and coding capabilities and where things could really start getting quite interesting. And because there will have been a lot of catch up by then. Right now, we just need to ship this stuff. We just need to get to the point.
Get it that out.
It's not an embarrassing omission.
It's not a lawsuit because the last time it was a lawsuit. So let's not do that again. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, there's a lot here. We're not going to go through every fine detail. And honestly, next week, we're not going to be able to go through every fine little detail either. We will touch on all of the high level stuff. And then maybe if you guys are burnt out by this, we'll come back a couple weeks later and we'll do like all of the stuff that wasn't announced, but is still really cool. Or if you want it, just let us know. We'll keep doing it. But yeah, this is it. Like, event is on Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. I will be there. The team will be writing all of the articles, so you can catch up on that if you're not able to watch it. There's a live stream. I'll have videos recapping everything. Of course, the podcast will come out. Probably come out a little sooner than normal. Maybe we'll put it out on Wednesday because we're recording it Tuesday evening. So we'll be able to push it out probably the next day. And so you'll have this a little bit early. And with that said, happy WWDC week, and we'll catch everybody in the next episode.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.